Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the epistle lesson for this past Sunday, Galatians 1, beginning at verse 11. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own age. Among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and had called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still not known by sight to the churches of Christ in Judea. They only heard it said, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is our text. You may be seated. You're watching the evening news, and as you turn on the TV, you discover that they're in the process of interviewing this big, old, burly construction worker. He's wearing a tank top, sunburned, tattoos down his arm, big old beer belly, grizzled, unkempt beard, hair flopping all over the place. And as you listen, you discover that the reason they are interviewing him is because he has won a national contest for crocheting lace doilies. Now, somehow or other, there's something wrong with the picture. It doesn't seem to fit. This would hardly be a person you would describe as a likely candidate to be crocheting lace doilies, especially when you discover that he beat out 500 little old grandmothers in order to win the prize. But in a sense, as we listen to the Apostle Paul here in these verses, we are confronted with a similar situation. As we listen to Paul give us a bit of information about himself, hearing these words, we would conclude that such a fellow is hardly a likely candidate to proclaim the gospel at all, much less to be the prime agent God uses to proclaim the gospel among the Gentiles. And yet, this is precisely the man God chose as his leading evangelist to the Gentiles. And as we read these verses, it's clear that God does things a little bit differently than we might expect. It becomes clear that God has some surprises for us when it comes to the results of what happens when the message of forgiveness in Jesus Christ is proclaimed. What God did with the Apostle Paul has some interesting implications for us as pastors and as men who are studying to be pastors, who will be proclaiming that gospel. For God, of course, gives us, as well as all believers, the privilege of proclaiming Jesus as the salvation of the world. But the issue becomes, to whom do we proclaim it? Well, you see, there's this guy who married a young lady from the congregation. He really didn't have any background at all in the church or in any church, But ever since they've been married, he's been coming real regularly with her. Shall we proclaim to him? And then there's this foul-mouthed guy down the street from where you live. And as you're paging through the church records, you discover that 40 years ago, he was confirmed. He hasn't been there since, but he was confirmed. You're going to reach him? Our natural tendency is to try to decide who will be the most likely to respond positively, and then to pretty much ignore the rest, because we've assumed nothing's going to happen anyway. And so we focus on those that we anticipate will respond positively. But the truth is, of course, which we know at least in our heads, that there are no likely candidates to believe the message of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Luther's words in the meaning of the third article make that clear to us. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. Nothing in me. Everyone fits the category of sinner. And sinners are those who are in open rebellion against God, those who are the enemies of God. Now, it's again obviously true that as we look at a world that's full of sinners, some lifestyle makes it more obvious than others. For example, the life of a drug dealer who happens to be running a house of prostitution on the side looks a lot different than the life of a wealthy executive who's obsessed with himself, obsessed with his wealth, obsessed with his power, and certain that if anybody's going to make it with God, he will, because after all, just look at who he is. Their lives look different, but in either case, they're still enemies of God. They are hardly likely candidates. And therefore, as we think about what happened with Paul, it becomes a reminder that what God has in mind for us is to be the ones that proclaim the message of salvation in Jesus at every opportunity, and then basically let God worry about the results. You see, that's not our problem. And the power to do that, to do it God's way, comes as we remember, first of all, that this is precisely what God has already done in us. For we, too, are by nature sinners, enemies of God. We were not likely candidates to come to faith or to be pastors, and yet God, in his grace, chose us. For most of us, it was probably in baptism. But at the same time, God in his grace kept us in the faith, in spite of the stuff we did when we were teenagers. We, of course, like to think that God did this because we were so special, because he needed us or something like that, but we know, of course, that that's an illusion. We are not any more likely candidates than Paul was, and so we remember that God in his grace has chosen us. We remember the effect of God's grace in Paul as it transformed him from the enemy of God to the proclaimer of the gospel. And then as we daily hear Jesus' words of forgiveness spoken to us, we are empowered to proclaim that same message to whomever, wherever, and simply let God worry about the results. Amen.